Silverston. From its beginning as a Royal Air Force airstrip to the site of the first Mutton Grand Prix, and then its inclusion in the inaugural Formula One Grand Prix Championship of 1950, Silverston represents the British Empire, like the famous Brits of past such as Jim Clark and Nigel Mansell. Here in the present, the majority of the constructors have their factories near this former airbase, even if they don't officially fly the Union Jack as their colors. For the 8th round of the calendar, the F1 pilots, including 4 representing Her Majesty and the United Kingdom and 2 from the Commonwealth, will fly around this historic high-speed circuit in the heart of England, with their cars set for low downforce, racing for a win and their chance to rule the Formula One empire. A British lad starts from pole and wants to repeat his win of 2008 and has the British fanatics cheering him on. Will we be hearing God Save the Queen at the end of this race, or will they be playing a different tune? Hang on to your fish and chips or your rods and tackle and stay tuned. This is your F1 bird, Desiree, and this is your F1 Weekly British Grand Prix Racecast. Cheers, listeners.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 630, July 4th. 2013. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the all-new Pirelli Circus, the Flying Rubber.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, all we need now is a tire fire. Mercedes becoming the one to watch for sure. And will Fernando ever get the car that he deserves? Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi himself and we'll have 50 words from the F1 Weekly Forum on the British Grand Prix, brought to you by Desiree. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you, sir. And, you know, first thing first, we're recording on this important day, July 4th. And what better way to celebrate the podcast and the day than to let everybody know, as we speak, the great Nathan Hot Dog Eating Competition is happening as we speak on the great island of Coney Island in Brooklyn, New York.
Well, that shows our dedication, because instead of sitting there glued to ESPN, we are tearing ourselves away from the television to do this podcast, because we know that the listeners expect us to do this.
Yes, sir. Greetings from the colonies.
Keep up the good work, Nas. Anyway, an outstanding and bizarre British Grand Prix, to say the least. I don't know what's going on, Nasser, but still, Pirelli are in a heap of trouble with the German Grand Prix coming up in a few days. It looks like they're going to be bringing, I think, a 2012 type of tire to Germany.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you what will be going on. I don't know if you were on the Skype chat with the F1 Weekly Familia.
I did not.
During the race, but I learned that our man in North Carolina, Mr. Jackson, is getting married later this year in Bruges, not too far from Spa. So congratulations to Mr. Jackson and his lovely lady. And at the end of the show, we have a song for them.
That's so beautiful. And I love Bruges. It's one of my favorite towns. And outstanding cervezas are served.
And I think after the big wedding, you know, they should go and have a picture taken at the bus stop at the Spa circuit.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep up the good work. As a matter of fact, my seats in 1998, was at the bus stop chicane.
Wow.
I know. Stunning, but exciting.
Holly good.
So anyway, there you have it. An outstanding, wonderful day in Britain. We had a little rain on Friday. It got a little wet, but still, qualifying was dry. And a beautiful day for racing in England.
Well, it's always good to see the Grand Prix come to the home of British motorsports, which
Absolutely.
Is also the birthplace of Grand Prix motor racing, Formula One motor racing, as I should say. So I remember the days when it used to be a really high-speed track. Things have changed for safety, this and that, and they've done a lot of improvements to the track. So it's a great facility. A lot of history, obviously.
Obviously, a lot of history, and we had a little break, so the British Grand Prix really kicking off after Canada is exciting, and we needed a big punch to get it going, and I was hoping that Ferrari would produce something exciting, but they didn't. They're becoming lackluster. I thought the biggest talk, of course, for me was Paul De Resta qualifying in P5, but they got penalized by something so silly. 1.5 kilos off the weight minimum for his car, and he got relegated to the back of the grid.
Yeah, but rules are rules, and they should be applied
the
same fashion for everybody. And talking of punch, our man LCH almost delivered one before he was knocked out by Tarfar.
That's true, but still a fantastic pole position for LCH, because really, Nico Rosberg had been rattling our little friend's cage for
yes.
a little while.
Yes, Nico has done what JB did. Joined McLaren when JB did and won two races before LCH got going. And talking of LCH pole, this was his 28th of his career and second time this season. So he's on a hot roll. You know, what is impressive is he's still ahead of Nico Rosberg in the championship, despite Nico winning two races.
No, that's very, very true. So, and Mercedes has really picked it up compared to where LCH was last year at McLaren. A lot of people mocked him, but nevertheless, this was a great decision to move over to Mercedes. I think they've promised a lot to LCH, and they've delivered the goods.
Yeah, they have promised him a lot and promised Nicole Rosegarden. So they both are happy, and the results are there. And you know what? If LCH had stayed at McLaren, I think people in media especially would have written him off.
Oh, that, absolutely.
No package, no delivery.
Yeah, exactly. And we know how that goes.
Exactly.
Absolutely. A little bit of a disappointment for Valtteri Bottas. He doesn't get out of Q1, but Crashado does.
Crashado?
Barely makes it out of Q1 into Q2.
Yeah.
Were you excited? Poor Williams. So sad.
Yeah, and you know, Silverstone is the scene of their first Grand Prix win, and we have a segment on that, on the history of Williams' team. Frank Williams is a very patriotic Brit, and it's sad to see how they are going these days.
It's very sad. They're sad. McLaren is certainly sad. Both McLarens don't make it into Q3.
The McLaren situation, you know, they go into these cycles. You know, remember some years ago, of all the people, I think it was Adrian Newey's car that they designed and built and did not even race. It was such a chihuahua, you know what I'm saying? And with the resources they have, especially compared to Williams, to have a car that's like this, you know, these are the people who have several engineers in their office when a Grand Prix is taking place in Australia and monitoring and giving out data and feedback. It's hard to believe. How can you have so much resources and not win? But then again, we've seen that movie with Ferrari also.
Absolutely. But luckily for Jenson Button, because Paul De Resta got relegated to the back of the grid after being disqualified from qualifying, he moves up one spot and puts him in 10th place. Also, Felipe Massa not getting out of Q2. What's going on there? He had a crash again in practice, which was stunning and blew everybody's minds.
You know, when in buildings and on the road sign, if it's a little bit of rain or a little bit snow condition, you see these signs slippery when wet.
Mm.
I think they should just put Massa's picture there.
That's a good idea. I mean, I know they're starting to do that around the F1 Weekly facilities.
Yeah.
But that's because we're just funny people.
Hee.
Thank you very much. Romain Grosjean out qualifying Kimi Raikkonen. He's in 7th. Kimi Raikkonen is in 8th. Sutil with the Force India. Force India in is unbelievable. Vijay Mallya, his airline is down the tubes, but he sure is taking care of this Formula One team.
That is true. And I would like to get an opinion out here from Nico Hülkenberg, how he's feeling after leaving Force India, because he has pretty much established himself last year there as the top sort of a dog. was doing very well and future looked very good for him. But now with where he is, Sauber, it's pretty sad. And talking of Sauber, even though they are based in banking capital of the world, they have some serious dinero issues.
Yeah. In other words, they need more paid drivers.
Yes.
Yeah. So, no, Hülkenberg could have been a big mistake. They're not the team that they were with our friend Kamui Kobayashi, who showed some machismo-ness
yes.
at Sauber last year. So, very disappointing for Sauber. He qualified in 14th.
What might help Nico, though, it's a Ferrari engine at the back of a Sauber, and Massa has to be replaced at the end of the season. If he's not replaced, then they must love Nando more. Luca must love Nando more than we know.
Yeah. No, I don't know what's going on. But my prediction of Mark Webber going to Ferrari next year, obviously, poof, he's off to LMP1 Porsches.
Yeah, but that look at the good side. That's the first time you were wrong.
That's true.
In 30 years of life, that's pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive. Keep up the good work. A few extra zeros in your next paycheck. An outstanding job by the Mercedes. Mercedes, I think, will continue to dominate qualifying, depending on what happens, because we're going back to Kevlar, not steel-belted tires for Germany. This could change the entire grid for the rest of the season. All of a sudden, we could see Red Bull back getting pole positions and LCH back in P5, P6. Trust me, the tires are everything. This is Formula Pirelli, Nasser.
It is, and you know, I just think as far as this season is concerned, you know, it's going very fast. And I think whatever happens, new tires, old tires, Rosberg and Hamilton winning races right and left, it's all going to help one guy more than anybody. Even if Mark Webber is winning, it's going to hurt the man you love night and day.
Night and day?
Yes.
That's one of my favorite Frank Sinatra songs, by the way.
Yes.
Yes. Fernando is in big trouble. The Ferrari is not fast enough. Their qualifying pace is brutally too slow. Their race pace is close and pretty good. And Nando always clawing up to the podium at each Grand Prix. But still, Ferrari, I think, has failed once again to give the package to El Machismo.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if he had the package he had last year, he would be in very good shape right now.
I agree.
Right now, it's like they're slipping back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, Fernando qualifying 9th, absolutely miserable. And of
but,
course,
you know, 9th or 15th, you know when the race starts and Romain Grosjean or Pastor does not meet and greet him on the opening lap, you know the guy is going to be on the podium.
That's very, very true. And, of course, we have Vettel in 3rd and Mark Webber, P4. Any thoughts? Oh, and we have to talk about Daniel Ricciardo, P5 on the grid.
Yeah, this guy is...
That's pretty impressive.
You know, he's impressive in one race. I should say very impressive in one race. The next race, Jean-Eric Vaughan is impressive. I think we have a dogfight going on for Mark Webber's replacement. But the storyline will be finished, I think.
Perhaps, but there's still talk, even in this week's Autosport magazine, that there's some rumors that Lotus may retain Monsieur Kimi Räikkönen.
It's very possible. I think the only reason he may not end up in Red Bull would be asking too much money.
Not only that, but I think Kimi Räikkönen is very much like Johnny Depp. Now, hear me out. You know, always going against the grain. And when he sees these rumors, oh, everybody thinks I'm going to Red Bull, he might just say no, just to F with people.
Well, that's true, and that's the way he is, and, you know, to each his own. Have you seen his new hairstyle, by the way?
Johnny Depp's?
No, Kimi Räikkönen.
Oh, no, nobody has seen it, but Kimi Räikkönen keeps saying that, wait until I'm on the podium. Now, what's going on?
It's got some side, you know, shaving here, and I saw it was, I think it was on gpupdate.net that I saw a picture.
One of your favorites.
Yeah, and I, you know, this day and age, I was not sure if it's Photoshop, somebody's trying to be funny, but then I read about it, then I said, yeah, maybe Kimi is Kimi. Remember when he won his first race with Ferrari, next thing you know, he had a tattoo on his hand.
Yeah.
So, well, that's money issue is what stopped him from returning to McLaren. So, you know, he knows he can win a race, but if he wants a lot of money and Red Bull doesn't want to dish out, They are. I mean, I don't. It would be great to see him, because then I will really know how good Mr. Bastian is. Sebastian Vettel needs a Lewis Hamilton as a teammate, so we'll see how good these guys are.
No, I agree. It's going to be exciting, but still, I believe Helmut Marko.
Helmut Marko?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, boy.
It's 4th of July, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, 4th of July, that's how we say it here. I still think Sebastian Vettel will continue to be number one, whoever is his teammate.
Well, if he's number one, it will be based on his talents. And I don't think he is... I mean, you look at, you know, the way I look at it, and I'm not saying there's no favoritism at Red Bull, but if you look at it, the Rubens Barrichello situation, he can say all he wants how Ferrari favored Michael Schumacher, and the whole world knows that, and they may even admit to it. I mean, they want to have a number one. Then he went to Braun. Do you remember? I think it was the Spanish Grand Prix which he was leading, and then Jenson Button ended up winning, and he was really ticked off. If you cannot beat Jenson Button as a teammate, how on earth are you going to beat Michael Schumacher?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, when, again, this is just a comment. I'm not saying I agree or disagree. When Prost left McLaren to go to Ferrari, I think it was David Sobs of some commentator on the U.S. network made a comment that if you can't beat your teammate in an equal car, how on earth are you going to beat him in a lesser car? So it just 2 + 2 is always 4.
I agree. No, it's going to be interesting for sure. Anyway, quickly, any other comments on qualifying before we go to...
Well, it was good to see Mark Webber do well in qualifying. And qualifying is pretty much... We're getting a trend of how it will be. We're expecting Mercedes in the on the front row, and that's being delivered. And one of the Toro Rossos is doing... Ferrari, of course, Nando was the only representative. So I think this trend will continue what we're seeing in qualifying lately.
I agree. Even with the changes in tires for Germany, I think Germany's going to be an interesting Grand Prix because, once again, everybody's going to be looking at the tires. It's sort of sad because, once again, Friday practice, I bet you the press, the public, and all the teams, Friday practice is going to be interesting to see what Pirelli delivers. And I was really disappointed with Pirelli's blaming the curbs at Silverstone. All the other support series before the Grand Prix at Silverstone, there were no problems with their tires, with the curves or what have you. So Pirelli really has to get their act together.
Well, that's
and
what,
Germany better deliver for them.
Well, that's what you do in politics. You always blame the other person for your problems or other things for your problems. So that was that accusation did not have curb appeal with me.
Exactly. Keep up the good work, Nasser. Anyway, let's go to race day. An outstanding, standing start for who?
LCH, man.
Great start for LCH, but the other guy that really needs to be patted on the back here is Felipe Massa, passing Fernando.
Whoa.
I know. And the commentators often kept getting Massa confused with Fernando because he was ahead of Fernando.
Yeah, if you see a Ferrari...
Usually, you assume it's Fernando. Poor Felipe. I mean, he has no chance. Even when he's ahead, they think it's Fernando.
Yeah.
So it was a fantastic getaway. Lewis Hamilton leads the rest of the field, and it was a fantastic start from Lewis Hamilton. Sebastian Vettel got around Nico Rosberg. He had a fantastic start. Mark Webber suffered some wing damage from his start. His start was pathetic, and he dropped back down to like 15th position. It was absolutely unbelievable. I think he was thinking of a Porsche.
Yeah, I just don't know what's going on with him and his starts. And then, you know, then there was a comment that he wants his slow starts to be investigated. I mean, what's next? Eddie Irvine calling for an inquiry into why he could not have a faster car than Michael Schumacher.
It's very, very possible. Anyway, another great start was Adrian Sutil up to 4th place by lap 2. You got to give it to him. And, of course, Mark Webber is trying to claw his way back up the field.
Yes, Sutil, you know, this guy has really impressed me for being out of racing for a season, come back so impressively. He's as impressive as Amigo Perez at McLaren.
Okay, are you ready for lap 4? Because yes. You're going to not be surprised with this. Romain Grosjean is the one to blame for hitting Mark Webber's front wing, apparently showed in the replays, Romain.
Well, that's the first time in, like, what, 3 races?
That's true. That's true.
That was pretty impressive for him.
It was. Lewis Hamilton is now increasing his lead by 1.5 seconds on lap 4. Lap 5, Lewis Hamilton is continuing to increase his lead by another 0.4. Lap 6, Daniel Ricciardo is in Fernando's sight. Daniel Ricciardo, he goes, wow, this Australian Mark Webber is leaving Red Bull. I need to impress now and impress today if I'm going to get that seat. Forget Kimi Raikkonen. I deserve that Red Bull seat. And he's having fantasies about it, and he's doing a fantastic job. And what's really impressive, he's young, and he's mixing it up with Fernando.
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those things, be careful what you wish for, just might come true.
So true.
No, I'm going to tell you, I think this guy is better off. This is his, what, second full season, right? I know he did a part season with few races with HRT. But I think it may not be a bad idea for him to have another full season, 3 years of Grand Prix racing, then go to Red Bull. Because, you know, Dr. Helmut Marko is, if he goes there and he's like half a second slower than Sebastian Vettel, fourth race into the season, they're calling Jean-Eric Vergne.
Yeah, no, and that would be brutal for his career.
Yeah, just as Liuzzi and Bordi and Speed. What do they say? Professional references available upon request.
Thank you very much. That's what my CV says. Keep up the good work, Nasser. Anyway, on lap 6, I also want to point out that Paul DeRista, who started 21st, is now up to 16th. And at lap 8, the beginning of the Kablamos. And now Kablamos are tires, not engines.
Yeah, there are no... Well, now there are... It's never engine. It's always transmission, hydraulics. So you can never say Renault engine blew up or, you know, Mercedes had a done blowed up. But that's another story. When I saw the Pirelli Circus starring Lewis Hamilton, my first reaction was, there he goes again, being very hard on the car and the tires. And
Blame
the driver. That's what racing fans do. Little did I know that he will have a lot of company very soon.
Yeah, but it was pretty disastrous. I felt for him in front of the Brits, having pole position. I mean, it was like Nigel Mansell, there, your home people. And to have those Italian tires take it away from him, Ness, is wrong. That was brutal. Lap 10, Lewis Hamilton trundles slowly back to the pits. Lots of lost points there, my friend.
I know one proud Brit who did not shed a tear on Lewis Hamilton's tire kablamo. Peter Brazier.
Exactly. Lap 11, more drama. Felipe Massa spins at the same place where Lewis Hamilton suffered his tire failure, and he also suffers a tire failure.
Yes.
We're only in lap 11.
Yeah.
What's going on here, Nass?
I don't know, man. It's but you know what? I was feeling a little terrible about all the Pirelli tires, but then they came out after the race and then days following explaining their situation. But you know what? When things go wrong, the important thing is to get it right. And hopefully they will get it right this weekend in Germania. But, you know, Michelin had this problem in Indy, U.S. Grand Prix. I remember there was an NASCAR race also at Indy, the Brickyard 400. And I watched that race. And this was Goodyear in that case. They all drivers were coming in for tire stop every 10 laps. And you can imagine how exciting that race was.
Exciting. Keep up the good work, Nasser. Lap 12, Mark Webber. He's coming out of the pits, and everybody is pitting. All the big boys are pitting, including your boy, Esteban Gutierrez. Quickly, I want to read a comment from our friend at the BBC, Gary Anderson, because he knows what's going on. He says, there's something cutting the tires on the curbs. We don't know. Massa's tire is the same rear tire as Lewis's. Is it debris from Mark Webber's car? What is going on the track? So at this stage of the race, they're thinking it's debris, phantom debris. A lot of people are beginning to be concerned. Lap 13, Mark Webber is now so happy. He's got a new front wing and he's staying away from Grosjean. On lap 16, the safety car comes out because of this phantom debris or real debris. A lot of the commentators from the BBC and ITV are talking about how this is really bad for F1, these blowing of the tires. People suspect it's debris. They call a safety car because of tires are being punctured. I don't think I've seen that in a long, long time.
No, this was really not good for Formula 1, but caca happens, and hopefully it will be all cleaned up by the next race. That's what we're hoping.
Well, yeah, but the biggest problem is now we've got the safety car out there for 3-4 laps. They've even got the street sweepers coming out, all the marshals. There's like 25 marshals out there sweeping the track. And I'm sure Charlie Whiting is freaking out.
Yeah, like he said, he almost red flagged the race.
Yeah,
and that's the last thing we want.
Lap 21, the safety car heads back And now we are racing again. Sebastian Vettel leads ahead of Nico Rosberg. An outstanding, standing start from him. Lap 22, Mark Webber is applying a lot of pressure on Sergio. He's doing okay. He's up to 8th place on lap 22. Lap 23, Sebastian Vettel now looking pretty toasty up front. He just posted a new fastest lap with a 136.634, giving him 1.4 seconds ahead of Nico Rosberg. Lap 26, Nico Hülkenberg heads into the pits for a fresh pair of mediums after suffering a slow puncture. What a shock.
Yes.
And there are a number of punctures that are nipped in the bud. They're caught before we have the big explosions. Fernando Alonso, he's dodging debris on lap 31 as he approaches Stowe, seemingly coming from a Sauber. Lewis Hamilton tries to make his move on Paul D'Arista, coming down towards the start-finish line. Lap 37, a battle of the Brits continues. Hamilton and Paul D'Arista are fighting for 12th. And Hamilton, of course, he's frustrated, but he's climbing up the field and doing a fantastic job.
I tell you, the opening laps reminded me of LCH of his rookie season 2-0-0, the Wizard of 07.
One of our favorite seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lap 39, Jean-Éric Vergne is out of the race because he had a big kablamo. After all these tire failures, your friend, Sebastian Vettel, is pulling off the road, slowing down. Gearbox trouble, can't find a gear.
Kaput. As they call it.
So we lost Lewis Hamilton at the start, but he came back with a tire change, but this is done.
Terminal. Yeah.
And there was a big happy roar from the crowd. Surprising, huh?
Yes. You know, funny you say that. That's what I expected. That pretty much was like Lewis retiring from the lead in Barcelona. That's what would happen there. But I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, me too. Apparently it was an awkward place where Sebastian Vettel died and our friend...
Sebastian Vettel died?
Well, his car.
His car, of course.
We have a safety car. Lap 44, Nico Rosberg returns to the lead. Kimi Raikkonen is up there as well, behind the safety car. No pit stop for Raikkonen. He was questioning his team, why didn't you bring me in for a pit stop? They said it was too late. I think that was detrimental because he's going to get passed and he's going to lose those really important positions and not be on this British podium. So I thought that was brutal for Kimi. But on the other hand, Kimi handles the tires pretty well. The problem is we've seen so many explosions of tires. Will these tires make it to the end of the race? Lap 45, the safety car heads back in. Wonderful sweeping pass by Fernando Alonso on Jenson Button on the approach to Copes. And the Spaniard is now up to 6th place. Another tire failure for Sergio Perez on lap 46. His second of the weekend. He's not a happy camper. And I'm telling you, his road cars are all shod with Michelin. Lap 48, Nico Rosberg leads, but it is a battle between second and third that really gets the excitement. And finally, these final laps, we actually see a miniature Grand Prix where racing is to the limit.
Yes, that was beautiful.
It was. And it's sad, but that's really the story of this season. A little languishing in the middle, everybody saving their Pirellis, and then the last few laps, we get some excitement.
But you know what I've seen lately is we've seen some pretty good side-by-side racing in the last few races, third to the eighth position.
I agree. No,
Neat and clean racing.
Yeah, no crashados.
Yeah, no argy-bargy or this and that.
I agree. Fernando Alonso has just too much grip for Kimi Raikkonen. The Finn relinquishes third for the Spaniard. It was pretty brutal to watch because I am pushing for Kimi and Lotus F1. Lap 51, Lewis Hamilton flies past Kimi Raikkonen to fourth, and Kimi's probably going, told you so, I needed tires. It was an outstanding job. Nico Rosberg and Mark Webber still battling at the front. I thought if there were a few more extra laps, Mark Webber probably could have taken this race, but he couldn't.
Absolutely.
Nico Rosberg wins the British Grand Prix, his second win of the season, having Monaco and Silverstone in your pocket. KK is jumping for joy.
Yes, very true.
I thought it was exciting. Yeah. And you know what else? I'm surprised that Nico hasn't grown a mustache yet.
And he's still not smoking like his papa all
the
time.
I know. What's going on here? I'm really disappointed because that's what I wanted to see. The two Rosbergs together in the paddock, smoking, sort of waxing their mustache. It would have been a lot of fun. But any final thoughts, Nasser, on this wonderful Grand Prix? And I know you've got some points and figures, some statistics, some results. So let me have it.
Yeah, for whatever it was still a very enjoyable motor race. The last 7-8 laps were fantastic. Let's take a look here. I like the comment that Martin Brundle made on the broadcast on Sky TV, not ITV, young man. And he said, great race for all the wrong reasons. But hey, if it's a great race, who cares? We still enjoyed it.
Sky TV, ITV, BBC, I get them all mixed up.
I know. So... And it's I saw the numbers, how many people watched on Sky TV and the Beeb, and I think Mr. Brazier put on the forum that like half of Britain was watching the Grand Prix, which is good. We want that everywhere, you know. Okay, Nando, your man called it a lucky race, as expected, was on the podium looking like Count of Monte Cristo. He started 7. Do you like his new...
Mustache
and goatee?
Yeah, I know. I think he's distinguished now.
Yes, he is. You know, Hamilton, LCH as we call him, came close to being on the podium, and another lap or two he would have been on the podium, but fourth was a surprise, taking into account how long it took him to get to the pits after a Pirelli blowout while leading. And Kimi, your hombre, was fifth and really pissed off that the team did not call him in, and he was still fuming on Monday and Tuesday, by the way. And they should have really called him because everybody was coming in. And after the race, Kimi said, well, at least it's not my fault this time. And it sounds like he's going somewhere next year.
Now, see, I knew you were going to say that, but I don't think so. Kimi's a bigger man than just one Grand Prix, and we'll see what happens. But the same thought came to me. An unhappy Kimi is a happy Red Bull driver.
Yes, and Massa was one of many drivers to suffer a tar far. As is the case, as the season progresses, every year he is again the subject of many rumors that he will not be at Ferrari next season. At Silverstone, he was in 6th. But I will say this to you. A friend of mine who is in the media in Formula 1 goes to all the races. Was chatting with him on the web, and he says, hey, your man Felipe Nasr, it's being reported that he may be in Formula 1 next year. I mean, there's a strong rumor blowing on this. And then I tried to put 2 and 2 together, and I said, if he's going to Lotus, he's probably replacing Raikkonen, who's going to Red Bull, probably. And what is the common thread here? Steve Robertson manages both drivers. Now, I don't know what Raikkonen's contract situation is with Lotus right now, but there are always wheels and deals being made, you know. So I will not be surprised that if Raikkonen goes to... Red Bull, and as we were talking over breakfast at our favorite place called Flames in San Ho, if Kimi goes, why would there be a need to keep Romain Grosjean? Your thoughts on that?
I think Romain Grosjean is in big trouble. He's just not, I mean, he has some talent, but he was even known as a crashado in his GP2 days. It's not going to benefit them, and not only that, but with the financial situation that we see ourselves in the entire grid, paid drivers are going to be really serious business, especially if they're talented, like an Adrian Sutil who brings some sponsorship. I don't know what's going to happen, but Lotus F1, if Kimi doesn't stay, it's a whole new driver lineup for sure next season. I guarantee it.
Even with Kimi staying at Lotus, then they'll be preoccupied with the top-line driver, so Romain might stay in the shadows. I'm disappointed in Romain. Has been successful everywhere, but you cannot get 3 chances in Formula 1. I mean, you get one, you're so lucky. Second is unheard of in this day and age. And with so many drivers available and so much money at stake, I mean, if you look at a young guy like Kevin Magnussen, he is backed by McLaren. They can park him there for a season or two before Jenson Button says, you know, screw you guys, I'm out of here. At McLaren. So you never know how this thing will pan out. And Sebastian Vettel, DNF, was the first for the season. It had to happen.
And it's expected. I think for him, in the end, it's better to have a DNF now than at the end of the season.
Oh, no. At the end of the season, it's very, very costly. I think you know the feeling from Spa and Suzuka. Right?
Yes, so brutal.
These things happen.
Brutal.
Now, let's just take a look here. My favorite comment from the race was on the podium. when Weber said that he's not sure where the next race is, but he wants to win in that country.
So I thought that was nice.
That was like a Auf Wiedersehen slap on Vettel. But, you know, I wish all these people all the best, and let's see how it works out. Okay, now, shall we take a look at the championship standings?
Absolutely, sir. This is very important.
Yes, sir. Leading still, Sebastian Vettel, 132 points. Segundo, Nando, 111 points. Third, Kimi, 98. Fourth, LCH, 89. Fifth is the Porsche driver with 87 points. And I was thinking, you know, if Mark had won that race, and I really want to see him make a push and get one this year, he may have called out to Christian Horner like last time, not bad for a Porsche driver. That would have been very cool.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah, sixth, despite two wins, Keke's kid is 82 points, meaning behind LCH's teammate. Massa is seventh with 57 points, 54 points behind teammate, when we have so much of the season. So he's going to finish like 120, 30 points behind Nando. Eighth, I don't know the name of the driver, but he's Dario Franchitti's cousin. He's eighth with 36 points. Your friend, your fellow Francais, Grosjean, 26, a serious meltdown of 72 points behind the ice cream man. That's pretty sad. And JB, 25. It's amazing if you have a competitive car, how good you look. And if you don't have, you don't look good. And it's pretty sad.
It is pretty sad.
Yeah. No points for drivers from three teams, Williams, Marussia, and Caterham. Red Bull leads the Constructors' Championship with 219 points. Second is Mercedes, 171. Now, they are ahead of, this is very surprising and impressive for them, they are ahead of Ferrari, who are third with 168 points. McLaren team, 22 points behind. Fifth place, Force India. So McLaren is behind Force India. That is pretty sad. And so, I think we should take a break now.
I'm ready for some Motorsports Mondial.
Yes, so let's take a break with some Perrier. We have Perrier Limon
exactly
in the Palatial Studios today.
Well, I told the cafeteria personnel, no more Calistoga water, only quality here.
We're going to have Beck's for the German Grand Prix?
No, but I think they have...
How about some St. Pauli girls?
St. Pauli girls, now we're talking. I like that cover. Keep up the good
work,
Nasser.
I'm talking about the beer.
Oh, I'm not.
Yes.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call, 850-421-8461, and tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair, right on the corner, right on the price, 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and fish and chips regards from Silverstone. And we're going to start with F1's so-called official feeder series, our favorite.
Hapidos?
Yes, sir. Hapidos GP2. Sam Bird in race one. He's a local British guy. And he's a pretty good driver. He's getting up there in age in terms of making a debut in Formula One. But he has been backed by Mercedes for quite a few years. And I think he is one talent. If given the opportunity, he may shine just like Paul Di Resta. The thing is, you have to give somebody a reasonable chance. And now they're talking about testing coming back. Maybe these youths will get some opportunity. So Sam Bird won the race one on Saturday. John Lancaster won the second race. This was his first victory in the series. And John Lancaster has been around for a while. And so British drivers won both the two races on their home ground. So congratulations to them. And Mr. Lancaster, I think it was the F3 Euro series in which he was racing some years ago, and he had a very, very terrifying crash. I believe it was Hockenheim, a very, very dangerous-looking accident, but he was okay, which is always good. Now we go to one step below, GP3, also known as Happy. Happy 3 doesn't have that.
It doesn't have the, that ring.
Yeah, so we're just going to call it GP3. Jack Harvey, a kid we've been following from his days in Formula BMW, he won the race. That was the race on Saturday. And Sunday we had a surprise winner, Signor Giovanni Venturini, in race two. So congratulations to these young guns. Oh, this is some getting a lot of press here in the United States.
Now, Kyle, this is good dirt.
Yeah, Kyle Petty is claiming Danica Patrick is not a racing driver but a marketing tool. And, you know, I don't have the time for this, but someday what I would like to do, maybe do a spreadsheet, no pun intended there, of Danica Patrick, take her year of birth and take a year of birth, same for another driver who has been successful. And we're not talking about, you know, the likes of Kimi or Michael Schumacher, and see how their careers have gone, how many races they won in their first year of single seater, second year, third year, what has been their average qualifying, and see how good both drivers are, because there's a lot of hype. You know, even this morning, you know, the big article on the web, Danica Patrick had a crash involving with her boyfriend, Ricky Stenhouse. So there's always press. You know, it's what I call basically WMD, Woman of Mass Distraction.
Wow.
But that's a very impressive marketing campaign from her. You know, she's represented by IMG. These are the people, International Management Group, that wrote the book on sports sponsorship. And their first important clients were Arnold Palmer and wee bit Scottish man, Jackie Stewart. So they've done a very good job in marketing this. Nothing, you can't take that away from her and her peeps. Any thoughts or comments on that, sir?
No, but I think he's right. She is a marketing tool. Let's get real. She's not going to win any races in NASCAR. And it was the same thing when she was at the IRL.
Yeah, but she did win a race there at 35 miles
per hour.
35 miles per hour on an oval race.
It's exciting.
Fantastic. Okay, you know, the big news was over the weekend that was fantastic is Dr. Valentino Rossi winning the Dutch Grand Prix at Assen, first win since rejoining Yamaha. That was very, very impressive, and I was very happy.
And he thinks that's going to open the door to more wins.
Well, I think there are some more victories in this guy. And it was very impressive. And Assen in Holland is to motorcycle racing what Monza is to motor racing on four wheels. Marc Márquez, the rookie from Viva España, he was second. This guy is really impressing me. And later this month, all these people will be racing here at Laguna Seca. Are you going to the motorcycle Grand Prix here, sir?
No, I'm not.
Oh, they're going to miss you, Clark.
I know, but, you know, I can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a family man.
No, I understand.
You know, I've got the estate to keep up.
Yeah, just a couple of things on the sports car front is, you know, we had Le Mans a couple of weeks ago and end of last weekend of June. Alan McNish won, Luar Dual teammate, and Tom Christensen, which gave him his ninth victory. But unfortunately, very early in the race, a Danish driver by the name of Alan Simonsen was killed. I don't know if you saw the opening laps. It just looked like a very simple accident, kind of like Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s accident.
Yeah, exactly, car where you don't expect a fatality.
Yeah, and then I read some, actually it was in one of the magazines, that what happened is where he crashed, even though he crashed on the with the passenger side, you know, side impact, right behind, not behind, but basically the guardrail was covering right in front of a tree.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, sort of... what would you call it, like a sort of a
movement,
otherwise it would have been a non-fatal accident, but sad things happen like this. And also there was a fatality last weekend at Paul Ricca, an Italian businessman. Race car driver Andre Mame was killed when his Lamborghini crashed in the Blancpain series. So sad, and our condolences to the respective families. Okay, and now we come to a segment called Don't Cash That Check Yet, sponsored in part by Payday Loans, which is a company here, and you can cash your payday or whatever they do there. Sauber, despite being based in the land of secret bank accounts, are having money issues, a fact confirmed by team boss Miss Monisha Kaltenborn. Apparently, Nico Hülkenberg was not paid his Deutschmarks or dollars. According to GrandPrix.com, the team is seeking sponsorship from Gazprom, a very large Russian gas company. If this happens, comrade Petrov may be back in F1 orbit soon.
Okay, Nass, you've got some interesting historical tidbits.
Well, there is a little bit of confusion, but generally accepted, British Grand Prix was the 600th F1 event for Williams Grand Prix Engineering. And people who want to dig into archives and forex and data mining will say, hey, he had another race, but then it was Frank Williams Racing, not Williams Grand Prix Engineering. So this is talking about Williams Grand Prix Engineering. A look back at the tremendous history they've had. Their first race as Williams Grand Prix Engineering was the 1969 Spanish Grand Prix at Jarama with a driver from Belgium, Patrick Nave. Okay. Clara Garzoni of Switzerland gave Team Willy their first F1 victory at Silverstone in 1979. And back home, I listened to this race live on BBC World Service Sports Radio. Very interesting. And the following year, Alan Jones became the team's first world champion in a Patrick Head-designed car. Alan Jones was the perfect driver for them. Gutsy, gung-ho, and that's a man who could do the job, and that's what Frank is interested in, and also Patrick. Nico Rosberg's papa, Keke, was their second world champion in 1982 with only one victory during the season, the famous Swiss Grand Prix at Dijon-Prenois. And we all know what happened there 3 years earlier.
He's off.
Exactly. In the one and only Dallas Grand Prix, Keke Rosberg gave Honda their first turbo win, and R. Nige scored his long-awaited first win in a Williams at Brands Hatch in 1985, the European Grand Prix, not the British. And many seasons later would win the championship in a Red 5 from Team Williams. Those were the days. Our friend, amigo Pastor Maldonado, was their last Grand Prix winner in Spain last year. Alain Prost, Le Professeur, one of your heroes, won his fourth championship with Williams in 1993. And in 1994, Senna started three races with the team, all from pole position. Over the years, the team has been powered by Cosworth, Renault, Judd, Honda, Toyota, BMW, and next year we'll have Mercedes power. And we hope this team survives for a long time. It's a important part of motor racing history. We don't want this thing to become another Brabham or, you know, stuff the old Colin Chapman's Lotus.
Super agree?
Yeah, that was a real flash in the pan.
Outstanding information. Thanks, Nasser. Any final words?
Well, enjoy motor racing. Enjoy July 4th. And, of course, enjoy Nathan's hot dogs. And what else is... Oh, this weekend, by the way, is the Masters of F3, Formula 3 at Zandvoort, which has become a very important event. And among the drivers taking part with famous last names would be Tom Blomqvist, son of Stig Blomqvist, Josh Hill, grandson of Graham Hill and son of Damon Hill, and Lucas Auer. He is the nephew of Gerhard Berger. There are a couple of people from America, Michael Lewis, who is from Southern California, and Felix Sirayas, who is from Puerto Rico. And we wish all the drivers all the best. Hope we have a great race. And Zandvoort, you know, used to be home of the Dutch Grand Prix. And James Hunt and Mario Andretti had a famous coming together there many years ago. A lot of history there. So that's about motor racing, and I'm sure we're going to have a great motorcycle race. I think it's the weekend of July 17th, 18th. So more motorsports, the better the life is.
Thank you, Nass, for another outstanding motorsports mondial. Now I'm going to introduce Desiree with 50 words.
Cheerio, listeners. Desiree back again with 50 words on the British Grand Prix, a feature in which forum members can post their wit and wisdom on the preceding race. Anyone can join the forum, so join up and let us hear your 50 words. Let us start with Miguel from Portugal. Hi, Miguel. He says, Pirelli entertained the crowds with brilliant displays of rubber fireworks, and in the end, the blandest German won. Ah, and there was some great racing for minor positions. Thank you. From Leon Bray, fantastic 10-race sprint at the end. Magic to watch Weber, Alonso, and Hamilton flat out and racing. Great. And from Neon Zapper, what an exciting race, especially the last 7 laps. For a long time, I enjoyed the tire situation because it helped level the teams. But, quoting Massa, the lack of driver safety is unacceptable. And yet, watching Lettel lead P2 by 10 seconds in a rocket car is the most boring way to win a race. The real skill is in overtaking. I'm definitely going to enjoy my recording of Silverstone again in the off-season. Well put, thank you. And from Frank Douglasson, his simple 50 words, which are less, says, Pirelli Lottery 2.0. Thank you. And from Rat Hump, says, new Formula One math. Exploding tires plus 2 safety cars equals exciting last 7 laps. Okay, great, thanks. And from, unofficial form leader, he says, that was a stunner. Not only a spectacular fireworks show courtesy of a specially sharpened curb and some plastic Pirellis, but good fortune fell on the closing stages to produce some of the best proper wheel-to-wheel action for, since I can remember. Then, even better, Nico 2, Lewis 0. And from Tricky Dicky, long-standing member of the forum, who says, wonderful Grand Prix for all the wrong reasons. We have averted a procession at the cost of a hollow victory. Don't know if I agree, but that's okay. And from the venerable Dr. Mark. Superficially, the tires stole most of the show, but the usual suspects gave the real entertainment in the last 10 laps, and the RBR gearbox had the biggest impact. And then he adds on, those with short memories need to remember the half season it took Kimi to monster Massa in 2007. I don't remember that. Massa part. And for myself, my 50 words. Self-shredding Pirellis took the piss out of Lewis's vinegar, and left rear tires went pop randomly to shake things up. Seb got shelved by his gearbox, a rare occurrence, sparing us a yawn-fest of a win. Poor Kimi got hit with carbon fiber shreds and clag, and Nico ended up getting one in the bag. Well, there you have it, and there you go, the 50 words. Thanks, everyone, for contributing. Talio.
Thanks, Des.
Thank you. And before we have our song for Mr. Jackson and his lovely lady, Miss Lindsay, any thoughts, any prediction on the grosser price from Deutschland, Uber alles?
Well, it's going to be an interesting race, and like I said earlier in the podcast, Friday is going to be watched like no other Friday practice since a number of years, maybe 2006. They're coming back with Kevlar tires like in 2012, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if this big change in the tire construction takes away from Mercedes Grand Prix, and I believe Nico Rosberg is preparing himself mentally.
I don't know the name of the driver, but I think a German driver is going to win this race.
Well, he's never won this race before. So that could be good for his little cachet.
Yes. That was said for many races for him, and he's proved a lot of people wrong.
Exactly, but anything is possible. These new tires could actually suit Kimi Raikkonen, and he could qualify well. Or Nando.
Yeah, it will be great to see Nando win, and it will be good to for Mercedes to win. I heard that the fees for the German Grand Prix this year was waived by Lord E, because Nürburgring track is having some financial issues, and who isn't these days, unfortunately.
So true, so true, so true.
Okay, so here is a little piece of music for Mr. Jackson and Miss Lindsay, and have a great time in Bruges. All the best. Ciao, ciao.
Dance me to your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm gathered safely in. Lift me like an olive branch, be my homeward dove, and dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the end of love.
Thanks, Nasser. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Bye-bye.